Imagine that unbelievable new deck in your backyard. Outdoor Living Unlimited is Wisconsin's number one TimberTech deck builder. Building new decks and replacing old ones, creating that million-dollar feeling every time you relax in your own backyard. Looking for a company to make your backyard scream wow? Stop by Outdoor Living Unlimited's resourceful Waukesha showroom and visit OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com.
It's time for some fresh air. So start packing, put on some sunscreen, and grab your favorite walking stick. This is WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors. I always love having this conversation. He's the great outdoors editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Paul Smith, joining us. All right, so many great stories you've written, Paul. First of all, how's your summer going?
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Oh, you know what? It's going great. I feel like we live in one of the best places on the planet for if you like outdoor stuff. And so I have been around the block here a few times in Wisconsin, growing up here, and now. So I mean, there are certain things I look forward to, and I've already been able to take part in many of them. One is catching coho salmon on Lake Michigan.
Yeah, I did a show on that not too long ago. It's a big popular activity right now.
I just love eating those fish, Steve. I mean, they're my favorite fish out of Lake Michigan, trout or salmon. And so been able to do that, done a lot of inland fishing and other activities. So, yeah, things are going great. How are you doing?
I am awesome, but I've been doing a lot of reading and a lot of reading of your stories, and I know you've been covering a lot of great issues. And one of the big issues that I'm hearing about is this whole thing with forward-facing sonar. Is it also called live sonar or something like that? And maybe how it might be unfair. I talked to a resort owner about it. I talked to another journalist that covers outdoor sports. What's your take on this and the sort of the controversy that swirls around this use of this technology?
Well, you know, it's very interesting in several respects because, you know, our world, technology just seems like it's accelerating at a more rapid pace than ever. And so this is in the world of fishing, this is the embodiment of that. And when I grew up, we didn't even have any electronics on the boat. You know, we would basically go out. And I mean, honestly, Steve, in the 60s and 70s, when I was learning to fish, most people would actually plumb the depth. You'd have like a couple 3 ounce weight on the end of a string. You know, if you were really curious, you'd drop it down. And there were some lake maps at the time, but not what we have now, and certainly nothing electronic.
Favorite fishing holes was another term that people like to use.
Yeah. I mean, so it was just in someone's lifetime, take me, anybody, many of your listeners probably, we've seen things change exponentially. And this is the latest in it. In this live sonar, forward-facing sonar, which the live term I think is applicable because you're seeing things in real time. You can see fish, out from the boat. And the forward-facing indicates that this type of sonar is looking in a direction. And you can choose it by swiveling the sonar. In any case, most people point it straight ahead of the boat, and they can pick up a muskie that's in the middle of the lake, maybe suspended, that many people would have never targeted before. So it's opened up new possibilities. And then you can see the fish react to your cast, to your bait. And so it's opened up ethical questions. Is this technology too advanced? Is it going to hurt fish populations because fish are going to be, caught more easily and more readily? Fish that in the past maybe had some safe havens in a lake, right? One professional fishing tour has already banned it. It's a muskie fishing tour because they don't want it used. They don't think it's fair. Basically, it's gotten fishing into this ethical debate of what's fair chase, Steve. I don't own one of the units.
I've never seen one, actually, so it's still new to me.
Yeah, but I fished with them. I fished with people who have them. I've used them in open water and also in ice fishing. It's extremely effective technology. It's, you know, and I don't think it's going to stop either. It's going to keep getting more advanced. And anglers, you know, don't want to be, by and large, don't want to be deprived of the best tools at their disposal. What may happen is if there's any data that shows it's actually resulting in increased exploitation, it'll just result in changes in bag limits. I don't think there's any putting the genie back in the bottle.
I think that's what Minnesota's talking about, right? Maybe some bag limit changes on that issue?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They're a big one. Their walleye, you know, has been a bag limit of 6 walleyes per day for decades. And they're looking to change it statewide down to 4. And they've got the forward-facing sonar is part of that debate. But also ecological changes and the other things. They're just noticing less survival of young walleye to sustain their population. So, but that's part of the debate. Yes, it is. Very interesting.
Real quick before the break here, because I want to keep it for another segment. Is it anything that Department of Natural Resources could weigh in on as far as the use of that technology? They typically stay out of that, or do they get involved?
Yeah, no, yeah. I think my sense is the department kind of wants to stay at arm's length from anything like that.
Got it.
It would be sort of like telling people what kind of boat they can use, you know, or spinning reel design or things. I know this is a fundamentally different thing. This is really high tech, but they typically don't try to ban anything like this. After all, this is a market that is being sold on a product that's being sold on the open market. And I just don't think that it's something that they could, unless there was some compelling environmental or other reason to try to get involved in it, I think they'll stay away from it.
He is Paul Smith, outdoors editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can find his great work at JS Online. I'm going to have him hang around through the break. After the break, a couple stories. Vilas County, Manitouish Waters, to be specific, getting involved in the wake-enhanced boating and what that means, some restrictions for that use, and I know it's a little bit early, but some new rules for deer hunting and some new units potentially. Let's take a quick break here. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Great guest today on this Saturday. Paul Smith from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, outdoors editor. Some great writing. If you ever want to know what's happening in outdoor sports and recreation in Wisconsin, you can find him at jsonline.com. It is the best writing about all of our great hunting and fishing and everything outdoors. Let's do a quick one. Vilas County, Manitouish Waters, getting involved in sort of these wake and enhanced boating opportunities that people are sort of taking up. It's a area, Manitouish Waters, but not a big population, but they've got a lot of lakes in the area. Obviously, the Northwoods does. What does your reporting suggest about where this story might go next?
Yeah, it's been a eventful spring for wake-enhanced boating issues. I was in the town of Manitouish Waters for a public listening session in May, first week of May. And so the town board chairman opened the meeting and he basically said, "Wow, look at all these people." And the proposed topic, although it was a listening session, so anything could be brought up by the constituents, right, but the room was full. And it was during the time period that Governor Evers and the Joint Finance Committee were starting to negotiate the state budget, and that was ostensibly the main purpose for the listening sessions. But the people that showed up wanted, a strong majority there wanted to talk about wake-enhanced boating.
So describe it for people who don't know what it is.
Yeah, this is a relatively new. It's come on in the last decade here in Wisconsin, but it has been around longer. Type of boating, and the boat itself is a special animal, and it's has the typical wake boat has ballast tanks that can draw in lake water. And what that does is it adds weight. And we're talking more than 1,000 pounds typically. And that added weight in those ballast tanks increases the displacement of the boat. So it sits lower in the water, and as it goes along, they typically go about 10 to 12 miles an hour. That's a sweet spot. And it creates large wake. And the wake can be 3-4 feet tall, 4 feet high. And it's powerful enough and large enough that someone can use a wakeboard and follow the boat without a tow rope. They just surf behind the boat as it's going 10, 12 miles an hour. They can play on that wave and do tricks, and or you can get towed, with a rope too. But it's that larger and more powerful wake that it produces. Independent studies show, I guess it shouldn't be a surprise because that's what the boat is designed to do, but it produces larger, more powerful waves, and people who live on lakes are coming out and saying they're experiencing more problems. They're talking about damage to the bottom of the lakes, fish habitat being disturbed, shoreline erosion, loon nests being washed out, and then recreational conflicts with other users. If you're on the lake and you get hit by that size wave, you might decide to, get off the lake. So it's prompted many local town boards to take up resolutions and ordinances to prohibit the activity. There's 54 that have been enacted in Wisconsin.
No kidding.
And the Manitowish Waters just passed one. You're referencing an article I wrote about that town board passing one in early June. And so it prohibits the activity. It doesn't prohibit the boat, but it just says, because you can use a wake boat for like standard water skiing if you don't fill the ballast tanks, for instance.
Right.
Or you could just use it as a pleasure craft. But they don't want that wake-enhanced boating, and that's what these ordinances typically prohibit. One of the ordinances has experienced a legal challenge. So this is one of the things that, if we're looking into the future, what's going to happen? The state has taken no position on this, Steve. So there's no statewide regulation on wake boats. Right now, you could use a wake boat and you could do wake surfing with producing 3-foot waves 100 feet from shore, just like any other motorboat could do. So the legislature hasn't taken it up, nor has the DNR. So that's where we stand. And with no state action, these town boards and local residents are saying, well, we're going to pass an ordinance because we don't like it.
Yeah.
And there has been one lawsuit filed this spring against the town of Scott. That's in Burnett County. And it will be very interesting to see how that plays out.
As Shakespeare said, Paul Smith, there will be lawyers. On this and other issues. Hey, real quick, before we let you go, I want to get to this because I'm going to see you a lot during deer hunting season because you're going to be in or around our camp.
Yes.
In the Senate part of the state, Waupaca County, to be specific.
Yes.
Any new rules or there's some conversation about new units for deer hunting this fall? I assume you're talking about gun deer season, or are you talking about all the hunting season?
Yeah, the rules apply to all the seasons.
Okay.
And so the Natural Resources Board just met last week and voted on the rules that will be in place for this fall and winter, all the hunting seasons, bow and gun and muzzle loader. And Waupaca County was not affected by the changes, but there had been a lot of folks living in the forested units that were asking for change, and so the DNR worked with people, and the Wisconsin Conservation Congress led county deer advisory councils, and they've come up with a new system. So there's a bunch of numbered units in the state now, and the others are all still go by the county name. Mm-hmm. So Waupaca County is still your your deer management area. And they also expanded some of the metro zones. So, for instance, the metro zone in Waukesha County got a little bit bigger in Washington County. But overall, you're not going to notice a bunch of differences from last year. You may just be – if you should pay attention to the map, and that if you want to get antlerless tags, you should definitely look at the map and find out when you can buy them. They will be – many of them will be going on sale in August. The bonus antlerless tags. And one other note for this season, all counties have antlerless tags available. Last year, two far northern counties, Iron and Ashland, had.
And I assume we can attribute that to the mild winters of the last two seasons.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Our deer population is if you've been driving around, you've probably seen them dead on the side of the road and in fields and other places. But deer population is doing well, especially in the north after, you know, on the uptick after the last two very mild winters.
Which hopefully is good news for hunters, because if you remember that I didn't see one deer last year for the first time in my hunting life, which is... Oh, goodness, 50 years. So hopefully that won't repeat itself. I don't think it will. Paul Smith, I will talk to you much more often between now and the gun deer season for sure, but I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of other things. You can find Paul's great writing at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, JS Online, easy place to find it. He writes about all things outdoors. Paul, always appreciate your visits.
Fantastic. Great to speak with you, Steve. Happy summer.
Lots more to come on WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. I've been looking forward to this interview as someone who spent a lot of time in the North Woods of Wisconsin, Mercer in particular, way up there at the top of the state. I remember driving by what used to be Raleigh and Helen's Muskie Shop. Now the Muskie Shop and the owner of the Muskie Shop, Jim Stewart, joins us. Great to talk to you, Jim.
Hey, it's great to talk with you. I appreciate being on your show here, and it's an honor. So thank you very much.
So everybody who's driven up that way, Highway 51 through the northern route to the North Woods of Wisconsin, Monaco area, knows your store. For folks who've never been there, tell them what the experience is like, because I've been in there, and it's sort of an amazing, especially for musky fishermen, which I used to be a serious one. It's just an amazing way to sort of get into that sport. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's a... You know, it's a niche that we have in the world of muskies. Muskie fishing is we're the world's largest muskie shop, and that's kind of our slogan. But it's true, because there's no one in the world that has more muskie lures and muskie tackle than we do. Now, in the world of fishing, muskies is a small part of the fishing world in terms of bass and walleye. But in terms of muskie, we're the world's largest, and when people come to our store, it's a destination, because I'm not making this up, but there's people that drive here from all over the country and over the world, for that matter, that want to see the world's largest muskie shop. And when they come in, there's thousands of lures. And, you know, for us, staff, myself and staff who are in it every day, you know, you get a little bit used to it. But for someone that's coming for the first time, or someone that's just, you know, once a year, it's a little overwhelming. It's not huge in terms of square footage, but there's thousands and thousands of lures and lots of rods and reels and clothing and nets. So it's awesome. And when we hear the comment a lot, where it's families will come in, boy, this is the coolest store I've ever been in. And I don't mean that in a boastful way, but we truly hear that.
Yeah,
and,
it's sort of an amazing experience. It's sort of an amazing experience when you come in and you are overwhelmed by all the stuff that just, you know, it's all about musky fishing. For the folks who have never musky fished before, or maybe someone who's listening on the podcast and it says, explain musky fishing to me. I'm going to let you do it, someone who works in that industry. Tell people why that's so exciting.
Yeah, so there's something about the fish that no matter who you are, male, female, once you see one, once you hook up with one, it is such a thrill that it's hard to explain, but they fight like crazy. They're hard to catch. And it seems like when one goes out and puts some time in, and all of a sudden you're rewarded with, you know, all out of nowhere, a giant fish or a fish that's giant in your eyes. And it can be startling, but it yet at the same time, it's super exhilarating. And it's just something about that fish that just once you kind of encounter it, or you have that drive to fish for them. It's kind of hard to explain, but people fall in love with it and they develop a passion, and it's just awesome. It's just a great sport. Sometimes they can drive you crazy because they are hard to catch.
Yes.
But boy, when they're really going and you catch, one or two or several, it's unbelievable. You're on a high after that.
It is kind of funny. I had a day once on Spider Lake in Mercer, Wisconsin, where I caught four in one day. The largest one wasn't that big, 32 inches, all the way down to like the high 20s. But it's still exhilarating. Now, I was just on a trip, and I talked to a guy who had been muskie fishing in, I think, Lake of the Woods up there, northern Minnesota, I believe. And he showed me two pictures of 250-plus muskies, which is sort of an amazing length. I don't know what the record is in Wisconsin. What's the biggest one you've seen?
The biggest one I've seen is probably like 55 inches, really big, but they're all fun. Like you said, you went out and had a day where you caught four, and it's the truth. They're all fun no matter what size they are. Sure, I think everybody who's fishing wants to catch a monster, but they're all fun. And if you do get that giant one, when it's a muskie, man, it's just a feeling like no other.
We're talking to owner Jim Stewart of the Muskie Shop in beautiful Monaco, Wisconsin. All right, so technology has sort of taken over all kinds of recreational sports, including the ATV, UTV industry, and all kinds of different areas. How has technology changed muskie fishing?
I would say the forward-facing sonar has definitely, I don't know if it's changed the sport, it's changed the way some anglers go about it. Some anglers like to use it as a tool to find muskies, but then there's other anglers will use that as a tool to learn structure and bait fish and what's going on beneath the surface. So that I would say technology in terms of forward facing sonar has definitely changed the way people go out. I don't personally think yet it's changed the fishery too much. I mean, guys still go out and catch a lot of fish, catch a lot of muskies. And there's still a lot of people that just enjoy to get in the boat without having to connect with, super duper electronics. And they'd rather just go out and fish and whatever happens, happens. But, if they know the depth and they can find a weed edge or something like that, people are plenty happy with that. But then there's also the angler that is wanting to connect with the super duper electronics and forward facing sonar and just put together a plan that way. So there's a lot of technology that comes along and how we apply it is everybody looks at it differently.
Jim Stewart joining us, owner of the Muskie Shop in Monaco, Wisconsin. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Great guest today on the program, Jim Stewart, owner of the Muskie Shop in beautiful Monaco, Wisconsin. Jim, I often talk to people on the outdoor show about fishing because it's one of the things I love to do. And one of the things I've heard from people is, I love to fish, I bass fish, I pan fish, but I've never musky fished. And you must get this question a lot. So how do you get someone started? What's the basic stuff they need to get into the sport of musky fishing?
Yeah, the basics would be, a bait casting reel and a bait casting rod. And we've got all different price ranges, so you can get started fairly inexpensive. Get a nice bait, and I say bait casting because you can use spinning tackle. However, the lures are a little larger for muskies, and if you're throwing kind of a little bit of a larger lure, and you've got that line, you're holding with your finger on the spin tackle, and you throw it out it don't take long, and man, your finger is not going to feel the best. And a bait casting reel and rod is definitely the way to go. So get a good, a nice rod and reel. And then for lures to start out, kind of cover the bases from the surface down to, maybe down deep, get a surface bait and bucktail and a glide bait or a jerk bait, and then maybe a shallow running crank bait, and then maybe a deep running crank bait. So just kind of cover your bases from the surface level on down. And if you start kind of slow to moderate, you know, you can pick a little bit up here and there over time, and pretty soon you got a pretty nice arsenal. And you want to get a net, and then some tools, like have a little cutters, like a little bolt cutter, so that, or in terms of a hook cutter, you know, if a muskie, if you get it, if he gets kind of hooked, kind of nasty, you can cut the hook and get the hooks out of there, use the pliers. And so just have a few little tools, maybe have a measuring device and little things like that, and you can get started for, you know, fairly inexpensively.
One of my worst days as a muskie fisherman was I was on a flowage and up in your neck of the woods, and my brother-in-law Jeff had a very old net, and I hooked into about a 40-plus muskie, and as we got it close to the boat, he netted it, and of course the net fell out, and the muskie fell away, and I didn't get the green that went into the boat. So I never forgave him for that in a nice way. So a net is especially a modern net, is very important.
Yeah, yep, it is, yep. And a lot of them have a deep bag where you can leave it right over the side of the boat, and the muskie can stay in the water, and then you get all the hooks out and everything. You can pick her up and take a quick picture, and then, you know, let her go.
I want people to know about your store, because it is a one-of-a-kind store. It's been there forever. How long has it actually been there?
89. They started in, Raleigh and Helen started in Rhinelander in 1989. And then they moved to our location now in Minocqua and in like 95. And then I bought it from them in 2003. And so we've kept the same location. We've got a print catalog and a website and, you know, our store with a huge inventory. And we ship all over the world. We do a lot of social stuff on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. And then one of our staff members, Jay Essie, he is a co-host of the podcast, the Muskie 360 podcast.
Cool.
And so they've been doing that for about 5 years. And so, yeah, we kind of do a little bit of everything, I guess. We do have some bass and walleye, you know, panfish tackle and live bait in the store too. But like you mentioned earlier, we are, you know, our big focus is muskie.
Can't let you get out of here without talking about the conditions this year. We're in July, summer in Wisconsin. Obviously, a lot of people go up from Illinois and other places to come here to muskie fish. How have the conditions been? How have the results been as far as muskie fishing so far?
You know, the season started off a little rocky because we had some hot and cold and quite a bit of cold, so the water temps were up and down. However, the last several days, I'd say about the last week and a half, the muskie fishing has been fantastic. A lot of fish are being, you know, caught on the weeds and weed edges, closer to the weed edges. There's some shallow, but most of them are kind of locating on those weed edges. And then out in the lakes that have a basin, out off of those weed edges in the basins, you think you're casting at nothing, but you're truly not. So if you're going to get out there and try that basin open, you know, suspended by just get out, try to find some bait fish on your locator, and just, you know, you don't have to fish particularly deep. It might be deep water, but you might be throwing a bucktail or soft plastics. There's been a lot of fish caught doing that. And so the fishing's been really good. Variety of baits, bucktails, crankbaits, glide baits, especially, you know, work the weed edges and structural edges. But when you get out in the basins, you know, seems like soft plastics, red October tubes, bulldogs, swimming dogs, they have been really dynamite.
Love the detail on that. All right, so I want folks to find your store if they've never been there. So the website address, all the contact information, how do they find the Muskie Shop in Minocqua?
Yeah, we're muskieshop.com, and it's muskie spelled with a Y, so muskieshop.com. We're located 7542 Highway 51 South in Minocqua, and for those of you that are familiar with the area, the bridge going across Minocqua Lake in town, we're basically 2 miles south of that bridge on the east side of the road. And we got a huge area for parking, and you can contact us, email us or call us, whatever works, but muskieshop.com, and we'd be glad to help anybody, be of service to anybody that that may be looking for some fishing information or fishing supplies.
Yeah, and even if you're not a muskie fisher person or fisherman or woman, check it out. It's a great store. It looks amazing. It's part of the history of Minocqua in the North Woods, and I'll be up there a couple times this summer. I will definitely stop and say hi. Jim, appreciate you. Appreciate what you do, and I look forward to saying hi this summer.
Great. Look forward to seeing you, and really appreciate the interview, and God bless everybody.
All right. God bless you, Jim. Jim Stewart, owner of the Muskie Shop in beautiful Minocqua. Lots more to come on WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. We always have great stories on this program, and one of the great things that I get to do every day and every week is to talk to people who have had great experiences in the outdoors for part of WTMJ Outdoors. I was talking to one of my teammates, Darren Mejia, who went on a great trip outside of the state of Wisconsin. But Darren, you're a big hunter, fisherman, all outdoors thing, right?
Yeah. No, my whole life.
Yeah. Darren works with me at GKB here. I work at WTMJ, obviously. And you're a guy that celebrates the outdoors. So you were telling me, we're chatting one morning because we always see each other early in the morning. We're early arrivers at GKB. We're like some of the earliest. For an old man, I still wake up pretty early. And you're not an old man. So you went on a trip. So tell us about the trip and sort of, I want to get to all the questions about the fish you're catching, but where did you go? What prompted this? And let's sort of get into the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So it all started, one of the first guests that you actually had on the show, Dan Truicki, through Safari Club.
Absolutely.
They have various banquets around the state, fundraising. As he went over, a lot of that money ends up staying in the state. So you have a lot of outfitters donate these types of trips to the chapters. And then if you buy a banquet ticket to go and have, you know, a nice meal, some food and drinks, and they actually have a live auction. So this was one of the
prize? No kidding.
Yeah.
So you won.
Yeah, you could say we won. Yeah,
you paid.
We paid for it. But honestly, you get a pretty good deal on most of these hunts and fishing trips. Well, they're donated. I mean, they want some of them have a minimum requirement that you need to meet to be able to cover some of the outfitter costs.
Oh, yeah.
But then others are just 100% donation, and then anything money that gets raised gets fully donated to
the chapter. Southeast Wisconsin Bull Hunters.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
All right. So the trip that you won, what was it?
It was a 3-day, 4-night fishing trip in Seward, Alaska.
Nice.
So it was fully guided. So the gentleman, Jeff, at Gone Again Charters in Seward, he's got a beautiful cabin right, up the mountain a little bit, right near the harbor in Seward. And we actually got to stay at his house. He's got, you know, fully equipped for, you know, up to six guys to come in and stay there.
So had you done something like this before? And is this qualified as like deep sea fishing, or like how would you classify it?
I would say we were fishing in 280 to 400
That's
feet
pretty
of water.
Deep.
Yeah. So,
all their equipment too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You so just show up.
You get to show up. There's no direct flights into Seward, so you fly into Anchorage.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We rented a car and got to drive down the Seward Highway, which is about 2.5 hours south of Anchorage. I mean, it's some of the most beautiful country that you could.
Yeah, yeah. Alaska. I've been there. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. And that was my first time, and that was part of the reason why we wanted to do this, where it was a trip that we've seen.
Who did you go with?
One of my old friends from high school.
So nice.
It was good to spend some time.
So you show up. He's got all the gear. He's got, I assume, a big boat.
Yeah, it was about a 32-foot aluminum hull with.
Like, how far do you go out? Do you have to go like way out?
We most mornings we would be driving or on the water for about an hour and 10 minutes, and it's pretty much full throttle the whole way. So you're going 25, 30 knots, where you're traveling, you know, 25 to 50 miles, wherever.
Wow.
It depends where you're going. So.
So they get you set up. You got the gear, the big rods, I'm imagining. So, like, what are you fishing for?
We caught a pretty mixed bag. We started off salmon and a halibut.
What kind of salmon?
King salmon, pink salmon.
King of salmon.
Silver salmon. There's some cohos mixed in there.
Yeah. Any odd stuff?
Yeah.
I think you showed me a picture of one that looked like a weird fish.
A lingcod, which is a predatory fish that's, you know, in pretty deep water. What's unique about them is that they've got actually teeth, like pretty large teeth. Where I mean, it's they're pretty gnarly.
Careful where you put your hands.
Yeah, exactly. And
how about bringing them in? Like how much did you battle with these fish? Because they're way down.
Yeah, I mean the picture that I showed you, I think I caught that fish in about 260 feet of water.
Crazy.
So that took about 15-20 minutes to get it up to the surface.
I mean, did you feel it?
Oh yeah. You can. I mean, we were catching some smaller fish. I mean, say relatively small, a couple pounds, but that one was about 30. So
what are you using for bait?
They use herring. So, and one of the days when we were fishing for halibut, we actually used the carcasses from our salmon that we caught the first day. So it was, like salmon heads and part of that. So
do they clean all that fish up and then flash freeze it and then you bring it all home?
Everything. So it's
no limits?
Well, there are limits on it, but you have a daily limit and it kind of depends on the day. So we actually learned that you're not allowed, if you're an out of state angler, you're not allowed to fish for halibut on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Really?
Yeah, which is strange.
That
is weird. The one day that we had it, which was Thursday, where we caught most of our halibut, you're allowed one fish under 27 inches and then, or one fish over 27 inches and one fish of any size. So,
one of the things we do in this program, we're going to talk a lot of guides in the next couple of years, cause I'm fascinated by their stories and your experience using someone who knows that the ocean knows, you know, where to go, how to fish. That has to be a big part of this. Their knowledge base helps you succeed when you're trying to catch fish.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. You mean you'd be lost if you tried to go out and self-guide.
You wouldn't even know
self.
Where to go.
Absolutely not. Yeah. And I mean, especially when you're going in this deep of water and having their knowledge and expertise. And this our guide Jeff, he was he worked for the forest industry in Alaska for 25 years, and he retired, and then that's he's been full time guiding for 8 years. But he's been out in Alaska for the last 25, so he's been around the block.
Is this a trip you would recommend for people who love the sport of fishing and love to get on a boat in some beautiful parts of the world?
Yeah, 100%.
I
mean, if you're even on the fence and thinking about it, go take the trip. Go with your friends. Go with your family and go enjoy it because you won't regret it.
Have you eaten the fish since you got back?
We have. Nice. We broke into the halibut and it's as good as
that is a great fish.
It's as good as advertised.
Great eating fish, great and fun to catch. All right, so if someone's interested in a trip like this, what was the name of the company and how do they find them?
It's Gone Again Charters, and he's got a website, Facebook page. You can reach out to him directly on there.
Captain Jeff. I love the fact that you shared the story with me, and then I said we got to get you on the program. These are sort of the personal stories that I want to take all of our listeners for WTMJ Outdoors on as we kind of move forward on this great story. Darren Mejia. Work with him at GKB. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
Back to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. To the
place I belong. Thanks for listening to WTMJ Outdoors, presented by Outdoor Living Unlimited. If you have an idea for a guest or a outstanding recreational opportunity in the state of Wisconsin, simple way to do it, email me at steve.scafidi@wtmj.com. That's steve.scafidi@wtmj.com. Happy outdoors. You're listening to 620 WTMJ.